Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Craig Doyle. Welcome to the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. Now, I know we say this every week, but what a championship this is turning out to be. And now, Marc Marquez and Andrea Dovizioso are level on points at the top of the championship. Here is how today's race at San Marino was won.
One more corner then, and Marc Marquez will have timed this to absolute perfection. He will equal on points Andrea Dovizioso. It's Marc Marquez that wins in Misano. Magnificent Marc Marquez in Misano takes a well-timed win from Danilo Petrucci, and we have to wait a long, long time for the equal series leader, Andrea Dovizioso, who wasn't quite capable of staying on Marc's pace to the end. Vinales salvages a fourth place for him, and then we look back down the road to see whether it's going to be Michele Pirro. Rins has moved ahead of Zarco in eighth place in that last sector. Keith, wait till they get to the line, though.
Keith, Marc Marquez, last lap, 1:47.069, the fastest lap of the race. You called it spot on.
Coming up, you can hear from Marquez, Davi, Danilo Petrucci, Cal Crutchlow, Bradley Smith, James Toseland, Neil Hodgson, Keith Ewan, Julian Ryder, and Gavin Emmett. Enjoy. We're hanging around Marc Marquez's garage here. Big crowd are too. We'll explain why in just a few minutes' time, won't we, JT? But you know, when you come to Misano, you expect a couple of things. You expect good weather. Did we get that?
No.
No. You expect Valentino Rossi. Did we get him?
No.
No, broken leg meant he didn't turn up. But we still got some absolutely fabulous racing. Quite a few shocks too. Before we get stuck into that, here's a reminder what happened across the three classes. And Marc Marquez, the ultimate stalker, pounced on Petrucci at the perfect moment. A lap to go, another win. This championship is on. In Moto2, Domi Agutter won his second ever Grand Prix race. The big story was behind him as Tom Lucci took advantage of Franco Morbidelli's crash to bag a victory and put the heat on the championship leader. And in Moto3, a flawless Fanati and filthy weather to take victory in the Moto3 race. Joan Mir, though, is safe second to keep pushing his claim in the championship. Right across the board, it's all getting very, very tasty indeed. So, JT, did you enjoy the weekend? It was interesting. The weather played too big a part today, perhaps, so it made for interesting racing, didn't it?
Yeah, yesterday was lovely, and there were so many game plans because most of the guys tested here, and they'd put so much work into the dry setting. And in Misano, at the beginning of September, the weather should be good, but it wasn't. So today, there were absolute spanner in the works for quite a few people that had worked so hard to get that dry setting, one being Lorenzo. I was quite surprised how fast he was at the beginning of that race in the wet. But he really did look strong in the dry, as well as a couple of other people. Like Pedrosa, he was looking strong as well until today when the rain started.
Yeah, we had unusual circumstances today because in the paddock, usually all these big crowds are hanging around Valentino Rossi's garage. He wasn't here today, so a big, big load of Marc Marquez fans. Yeah, Marc Marquez, big fans?
Yeah.
Very vocal. Very, very vocal. They have been in the rain all day. One man who was definitely cheering is Marc Marquez's boss, Livio Supo. Congratulations. Hi. Great race victory.
Thank you.
Your feelings, your thoughts, your emotions, Livio.
First of all, I told Marc that he must stop doing like this because heart attack, it's easy to get at this age. But yeah, he did an unbelievable job after crashing in the warm-up during the weekend, I think three times. I think he was, he didn't want to take too much risk. I think at the beginning he was almost crashing a couple of times, and after that it seems to me, because I still have to speak with him, that he was really good in managing the situation, trying to not lose too much gap with Danilo. They did, by the way, a great job, and at the end he still had something, and bam. So, unbelievable.
We've seen so many times him crashing the qualifyings and the practice and in testing. But in the race, it very rarely does he make the same mistakes. Does he push it so much and have a little bit of a crash? Does it actually help him, you think, to actually know the actual limit on the bike in those conditions?
He said something on that yesterday in the press conference. Is his style a little bit? He's pushing the limit in the practice to understand where until where he can push. But of course, I'm sure he's not doing deliberately.
Yeah,
of course,
every
crash is dangerous, but you know, at the end of the day, what's important is the race. And this season, he did just a couple of small mistakes in the race, but otherwise, he has been basically perfect all season, so he's doing a great job.
We weren't sure if there was a small issue at the start of the race. Mark was sticking his leg out as he went down the pit lane. What was going on there? Was he communicating with you?
Basically, he was saying that his feeling was the truck would have been drying, so let's start preparing the other bike for dry. In reality, then it was not like that, but his feeling was that maybe the race would have finished as a flag-to-flag race on slick, so it was just showing the mechanic, hey, start working on the other bike.
What was your feeling then? What did you think?
I was thinking that he was optimistic, but you know, I'm not on the bike, so it's difficult to judge, and he's the king of this kind of decision, so you have to trust him.
What was so impressive, and is always so impressive about Mark, we know he can do some chaotic riding out there, but also the maturity at times, just to sit on Petrucci's tail and attack right at the right moment. So really, Danilo didn't have a chance to get back. That was a very impressive move, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, to do that is not only a question of mental strength, it's also to be as strong as Mark is. So it's a good combination. But yeah, sure, today he did a very good job because it was very easy to crash. Many rider crashed, and he's fighting for the championship. I think he's doing he has done a very good job.
I know your nerves are just starting to calm down from watching Mark in that particular, but mine are the same. You have five races now. You've got Aragon, Japan, Australia, Malaysia and Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you think you have the advantage, looking at the Ducati now compared to, and the Yamaha, because all three manufacturers are going for this now?
I think now it's very difficult to say, because five races are a lot, but not that much. Yeah. So if you do a mistake, it's very difficult to recover. Dovi, traditionally, is super fast in Motegi, super fast in Sepang. Usually struggle a little bit in Phillip Island. In Aragon, I think Mark can be very strong. In Valencia, usually Mark is very strong. So it looks to me quite balanced, the situation. So it will be very important not to do mistakes.
Wow.
It's so 50-50. Good. It's great for the championship, though. It really is exciting.
Yeah, not for us, but...
but you know what confuses me at times, and I'm sure it annoys you. Like, up on the podium today, the lads in commentary call it pantomime boom, but I'm sure it irritates them as well. Booing Marc Márquez, considering what he does out in the track, I know we're in Valentino Rossi territory. How do you feel about this when you hear it?
Very sad, especially being Italian, of course. It's really sad because this sport is a dangerous sport. First of all, people forget it. They are doing something very special, so I think everybody that follow this sport should show more respect for this rider, any rider.
How is Mark feeling about this championship now? I mean, you feel he is the one who's got momentum, do you not?
You know, I think Mark is in his fifth season in MotoGP, and like it or not, he's been always, he won 3 out of 4, and in the last one, in the other one, he did several zero, but still was close to the top. So he is a rider that he's always thinking about the championship. It's not that he start the season saying maybe yes, maybe not. He's always thinking about the championship. He already proved to be able to fight for the championship many times. So I don't think change anything. It was important not to lose more points from Dovi, and so this was a good weekend.
How about the bike? Because there was so much tinkering done in the early part of the season. Are you now saying, you know, five races to go, let's settle on what we have, let's work with that?
Well, in reality, this is a perception that is quite difficult for me to understand, because if you think at the beginning of the season, okay, in Qatar it was out of the podium, but we start very late because of some rain, and then he cannot choose the tire he prefer, the front tire he prefer. Then in we went in Argentina, and both Danny and Mark were very fast, but both crashed, but still Carl was on the podium. Then we went in America, we finished first and third. Then we went in Jerez, we finished first and second. Still, people say at the beginning of the season we were struggling. So this is not clear to me. I'm joking, but clearly the riders say that the bike is getting better, and we are happy for that.
Before we go, I just have to say we love your voice, don't we? We absolutely love your voice. Are you familiar with Liam Neeson in the film Taken? Do you know this film?
No, but anyway, in Italy they translate all movies, so I would not understand.
Could you do me a small favor? Repeat after me.
Uh-huh.
I have a particular set of skills.
I have a particular set of skills.
I will find you and I will kill you.
I will find you and I will kill you.
Thank you, Livio Supo.
How much do you pay for this?
I don't know. Liam Neeson be billing you, not me, pal. Congratulations. Congratulations. Well done today. He's such a great guy. You can see how he motivates that team.
He could do a fantastic Barry White number as well, I bet, in the bar tonight. He'll be singing tonight after today.
He's a great fella. Let's hear from our race winner.
Mark, we've heard from Livio Supo. He called it genius today. You waiting right to the end there to take that victory. I'm putting in a fast lap on the last lap. Did you always feel you had it in you enough to take Danilo?
Honestly, I don't understand how we do the fast lap in the last lap, because my lines were completely out from the good line. I was going wide, going back because I was braking very deep. But anyway, was like strange, because first part of the race I struggled a lot. I had a few mistakes, big moments. Then second part of the race, I start to realize that I was able to win the race. Then last 10 laps, again, I struggled a little bit, but the last 5 laps, I had a good feeling and I wait until the last lap. I was waiting there, try to be close to Danilo, because you have less risk if you push one lap than if you push 5 laps. So, yeah, we wait until the end, and these 25 points are very important.
I can tell by your throat there, by your voice going a little bit there, yes.
When I passed the line inside the helmet, it was better to don't have a microphone.
Hey, I want to know about that leg. Early on in the race, we thought you had a problem or something. You had a couple of moments, your leg came out. What were you trying to tell the garage?
Yeah, it was like kind of a strategy, because we speak a little bit before the race, and of course flag-to-flag race was nearly impossible. But I say, if I feel that is a small chance, I will say to you with the leg, because prepare the other bike to rain. And then I saw that stop raining. I saw that, okay, still a lot of water, but some lines that the water was going down very quick. And I said, okay, be ready, because you never know.
And I've just got to ask you, now you're level with Andrea in the championship. 5 races go. We go to Aragon next as well. How much are you looking forward to this battle? It's probably going to go down to Valencia, isn't it?
looks like. Because as soon as somebody gets a small advantage, something happens. And then, again, equal. But yeah, we will see. For us, after Silverstone was really important for the team to come back on this way. For that reason, I was pushing so much this weekend, because it was important to... Okay, the feeling was there, but to come back on the first position, because last races I felt really strong. And now we must to keep pushing here. My main target was try to finish in front of Dobby, because he had a really good pace here normally. And yeah, we did. Now we are equal on the championship. I don't know if he's first or second.
You're first.
First? Okay. So we come back on the top. But same points. So keep pushing like we did until now.
Do you know what's good for the sore throat? Champagne. Go and enjoy it.
Okay. I will go now. Directly.
He certainly deserves it, Haji. He was great today, wasn't he?
Yeah. Such difficult conditions. You know, the pressure on DNF last time out. He couldn't afford to crash. You know, if he'd have crashed, you'd almost say the championship's gone, 2 DNFs on the bounce. But he dealt with that pressure. He was cool under that pressure and made his move at the absolute right time. What a stunning victory. Not the greatest race, as in spectacle, but perfect tactically from him.
Almost the perfect day, though, for Danilo Petrucci. We're just outside his trucks here. They'll celebrate, but not the celebration he wants. He wants to win races.
I was so disappointed to qualify 8th in the dry and then 2nd this morning in warm-up. The way he carved through the field, first off, just going underneath Zarco here into turn 15. I mean, the confidence he's got in the wet and the dry now. But look at this, round the outside of Maverick Vinales. I mean, just to even say that is an accomplishment in itself. But look at this, underneath, round the outside, the traction he was getting, the drive he was getting, you know, fabulous ride. And you could see how disappointed he was not to take the victory today.
It would have been so nice to see him take the victory. I've got to say, I felt slightly flat after the race. You know, because, yeah. The fact that he has come from Superstocks, he's not born with a silver spoon, he was working and racing. You know, you see some of these kids that have had the golden ticket. He's worked so hard as Danilo Petrucci, and to win the Italian Grand Prix is what every rider dreams about. And I was thinking, when the commentators were saying about pulling over to let Dobby pass, I'm like, that's so not going to happen. you know, if you was in that position, you'd be like, to win your home Grand Prix is like say, it's what dreams are made of.
Yeah, he did say as he went around the circuit when he was in the lead, he was dreaming of the victory. Fair play to him, though. Very likeable fella. He's with Gavin.
Danilo, heartbreaking end to that race for you. Of course, you've worked so hard throughout with some quick laps in the latter laps. But how much did you know Mark was behind you and where he was strong?
I knew Mark was behind because I watched all the race, you know, on the mega screen. And I tried to stay up the first thing. And I know Mark was not so clever to attack me. But so I try more times to push, but the risk were so big. So I try until the last lap. In the last two laps, I push a lot. But in the last lap, when he passed me, I tried to attack him at turn four. I nearly crashed, and I said, "Okay, I try again, but don't ruin today this great result." Anyway, I believe it. In Italy, was great. Could be great to make a win, my first win. Anyway, another time very, very close to the victory, and I'm happy to be here again.
I'm sure it'll come sometime soon. In terms of the changing conditions, it was very wet at the start. Tell us how it changed during the race and how you had to adjust for those changes.
Yeah, I imagine in the first part of the race I was very strong when there was a lot of water. Maybe my weight helps me a little bit. And then, I use too much, maybe, the traction. In the last lap, especially on the left side, I got not so much traction. And Mark using the traction for going out in the penultimate lap in the last corner, going out more fast, and he passed me at turn one. He brakes very, very late all the laps in every corner, and was impossible for me to attack. I attack in at turn four, but as I told you, I nearly crash, and I say, "Whoa, not now. And anyway, it's a mixed feeling. I'm happy for sure. It's a podium, but a little bit of delusion because stay in front for all the race, but not in the most important lap. And anyway, I'm happy.
Was there any thought ever, our commentators were discussing it, about the fact that Dovi was behind you, any riding for Ducati, riding for the factory? Was that in your mind at all?
Yeah. I thought all the race about this. And maybe for sure I didn't have to commit any error, any mistake, especially with him. I tried to stop Mark. In every way, I was hoping that Dovi was behind, maybe fighting for the win. But Dovi was a little bit too far. And for the championship, it's not the ideal finish for Ducati. But I'll try to help him another time. This time was not possible.
But it was still a brilliant race. Well done, Danilo. Congratulations on second. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well done. Let's just confirm that result. Round 13 of the MotoGP Championship, and it finished up like this. Marc Marquez, another win. An important one, too, because he is now even on points with Andrea Dovizioso, 199 on the championship table. Dovi finishing in third place to Petrucci there in second. Maverick Vinales taking fourth place there. Michele Pirro, fair play to him. He's had an interesting weekend, finishing fifth. Jack Miller, Scott Redding, sixth and seventh. That's exactly what Scott Redding needed. Boost the confidence. And for Bradley Smith, don't forget, he's kind of got a head-to-head with Mika Kallio coming his way in Aragon next time out. So that will really help build up some momentum ahead of that race weekend. But let's get back to the man in third place. Andrea Dovizioso is with Gap.
Dovi, third place today, still leading the championship joint with Mark, but I want to know what your feeling is, because this is such a special weekend for you, for Ducati as well. How do you rank third place?
I think we have to be happy about this result. For sure, when you slow down during the race, it's not so nice, so we are not so excited that like the last two races, but I think 16 points in this condition today is a perfect, really good result. And sometimes can happen your setup is not the best. So I didn't feel so good at the race. So I was able to stay with them, but I have to take too many risks. So it was too easy to make a mistake. A lot of riders did a mistake. So I decided 10 laps to the end to slow down because
is the limit was there. It was too easy to make a mistake. So I didn't feel so good. I didn't have any better point compared to the competitor, the virtual rider. So I say, I thought, okay, this is the moment where I have to use the white horses and take the point, because in the championship it will be, I think, a very important race.
Yeah, it was interesting. I want to know what your problems were, actually, because it looked like when the track dried out that you were starting to have issues. Would you prefer the rain to stay there? Would that have helped?
No, I think it didn't change. From the beginning, I didn't feel so good. I didn't have a lot of grip. I have worse grip than Mark and Danilo on the traction. Normally something I'm quite good, but can happen. We just did the warm-up this morning, so it was difficult to have a right setup. But anyway, we did a great job this weekend, because we started in the first row. For us, Misano, on the paper, it wasn't so good. It means we are very competitive, and in the championship we are there. So thank you to the team.
Yeah,
all the fans.
Also, Dovi, he's just won over here on Italian territory. What about going and winning now on enemy territory in Aragon next time out on the Ducati? Should it be a bit better there?
Well, Aragon is one of his favourite tracks, so it will be difficult. But I think we are very competitive everywhere here, not this year. So I'm relaxed about that. We are in a good situation in the championship, and everything is open.
Relax, Dovi. You'll be a quick Dovi. Have a good time next time. Well done.
Thank you.
It's now time to talk about the Brits, who had a good day today. Cal, he had a difficult week. We know he cut his finger. He crashed back on the bike, finished 13th. So that's a brave ride for him, considering, isn't it?
Oh, massively brave. You know, with the damaged finger riding all weekend, he said that the fatigue on his arm, because of that finger was stuck out, the different muscles he was having to use for that, it was difficult. And in these conditions, to get back on and finish 13th was really heroic, wasn't it, Neil?
Yeah, I mean... it's always a little bit easier when everybody crashes around you as well. So, and it's difficult. I mean, I've been holding my microphone with my finger out, just trying to really replicate what it feels like. And he's done a good job. But I'm using different muscles, Craig. Honestly, I've got like a bit of fatigue here.
Have you?
You won't hear me complain about it, though. I'm a trooper. I'll carry on.
But you're very careful when you cut the cheese. I know that. I've
really
experienced
careful,
it.
Yeah.
Very safe on
what
that.
What about
front.
The Parmesan? Was it thrown away? You know, there's blood on it. It's expensive as Parmesan.
It is, yeah. That's for another day. Let's talk about Scott Redding, though, shall we? Because a really positive race from him.
Really
finishing seventh, and he's had a tough all time. So a good few weeks, new ride next year, all announced, contract done and dusted, and a good finish today.
After a difficult year, you know, like underperformed, a lot of people were criticising him, but ever since he got that, the ride confirmed with Aprilia, he's had an eighth place at Silverstone, seventh place here. Again, a little bit lucky with the weather, but he admitted it. He said if it was dry, he was going to struggle, but sometimes need a little bit of luck.
Yeah, he did say, you know, yesterday, I need a bit of rain to help with what's been a miserable weekend.
Yeah, well, yeah, and saying that, even more pressure. I think the guy that we're going to look next to, even more pressure than Scott's got on his shoulders, is Bradley Smith on the KTM to have the threat of his job going for the test rider. After he was 16 seconds slower than Callio, I think, in the Austria race. Amazing ride from him as well. But to see Scott having a good couple of results, hopefully he can have a strong season to keep that confidence and that momentum going for next year, because it's all about confidence and momentum. We've seen with Sam Lowes the difficulties he had without that confidence there. So I wish him all the best for the last five races.
Yeah, Hodgie, you did catch up with Scott a short time ago. This is what he said.
Scott equaled your best result there, seventh in the race. Obviously difficult in the dry, but very, very impressive in those conditions. What was it like?
Yeah, we had a difficult weekend in the dry, really. Struggled a lot. And when I saw the rain was coming, I just hoped it would rain and try to break through for summer on a Sunday. And it rained and we did the best we could. We struggled in the warm-up for grip, tried to make a change. And we saw in the warm-up I was improving, but it was still... not a good feeling, especially left corners, just no temperature in the tyre, keep losing the rear entry on gas. And it was the same in the race. We made some big changes to help, and it helped me in majority of the corners, but the left corners was the same. So I couldn't really push in left corners. I lost from the other guys and was taking a lot of risk to go faster there. So I settled into my rhythm and saw a couple of guys crashing and thought, just keep this rhythm and see how it plans out in the race. Don't try and make anything. If I have something in the pocket, I'll try and put it at the end. But honestly, I had nothing really more to do. I was in that range. It was all it allowed me to do. And we had to settle for seventh, which is still a good result.
Yeah, really good result. Smart ride in difficult conditions. Aragon next. Is that a place you like?
Yeah.
No?
It's not, I wouldn't say no. It's a technical circuit, quite hard to get it right, uphill, downhill, braking. So we'll have to see when we get there. I mean, it's not been a bad circuit for me, but with the Ducati last year, I did struggle a little bit, similar to here. So at least here we know what doesn't work and we can try other options for Aragon.
Brilliant. Well, listen, good job today and we'll see you in Aragon.
Thank you very much.
Lads, I don't know if he likes any circuit at the moment, and any time he talks about the problems, we realise there are many. There are layers and layers of problems. Where does he start?
Well, I think with what he's said, he's tried everything and turned that Pramac Ducati upside down to try and find the speed, and nothing's working whatsoever. So I think it's a good time that he actually is moving on with a team and a bike.
Yeah, it's his second year on that Ducati, 2 years on the Honda. That didn't quite work out. So yeah, it's the right time. He always talks about the same thing to me, and it's grip. And I don't know if his weight goes against him or what, but it's always an issue with it. You speak to his technicians as well. They said he's very aggressive with the throttle. I think he still needs to maybe even smooth that down a little bit.
Usually if you're aggressive with the throttle, it means you're struggling with confidence getting into the corner and getting through the corner, mid-corner. So you're trying to make up with the acceleration. But the weight transition from the rear to the front upsets the bike even more then, because you're slow, too slow in the corner, and then too much acceleration. So the bike's pitching all the time and it makes it even worse for you.
Yeah, well, he'll just get through the season and crack on. Look forward to his new contract next time out. Let's hear from Cal Crutchlow. He's with Gav.
Yeah, we're just in the LCR Honda Hospitality here, where Cal has sadly taken the cast off his finger because it looks pretty rank underneath there. But all credit to you today, Cal. You had that crash where it looked like you were dicing with Jack. Tell us about that in a second. But you did pick it up and brought him some points in the end. What was going on in that little scrap with Jack there?
No, I was not particularly dicing. I felt really good. I felt comfortable and confident. I knew after 10 laps is when I could probably start pushing. I didn't want to take too many risks early, and I ended up flying as high as what I've flown in a long time. So, my own mistake. No fault of anybody else. And I wanted Jack and the rest behind me. So, soon as I passed Jack back, I crashed. But I was confident I could come back across to Dovi, maybe Mark at that time. And I just pushed too hard immediately after passing Jack and crashed. So, hey, I got back on, got some points. It was a difficult long race with the handlebar touching the tank and no footrest. But I did what I had to do, and I'm sorry to the team, because I think we could have had a good result today. I don't know if we would have won the race, that's sure. But I think we could have definitely been with Dovi. In the condition, I've rode well all weekend. I felt good all weekend. And we got some points in the end of it, and you know, we have to take the positives from this weekend, which was we were fast in both wet and dry. But I made a mistake in the race, and that's what cost me.
Is the finger all right?
Yeah, it's no problem. Just long race, you know. It took a hit when I went on the floor, that's sure. Same as the rest of my body, but Nothing really else to say except for let's go to Aragon and hopefully the finger will be a bit better and I'll be a bit more competitive there as well.
Hey, look, well, Cal. Thanks for talking to us.
Cheers. Thanks, Cal.
A positive day for Bradley Smith, finishing 10th, back in the points, and he hasn't really had much of that success this season so far. What went right for him today, other than just the rain?
Bradley Smith? Yeah. He kept his head in difficult conditions. Yeah, he was under the most pressure of most of the MotoGP riders today. If he'd have crashed early on, for example, then it means he was going to go to Aragon, and I'd say there's a strong chance he would lose his ride. If Mika Kallio was a similar speed to him, the fact that he's caught past his teammate and pulled away today, not made a mistake, brilliant. It just shows what we all know anyway. Bradley's a class act, and he can deal with maximum pressure because it doesn't get any more than that.
Sometimes you just need to give management just something to think about. Just make them pause for a second. You know something? Keep backing me here.
Yeah, we heard him with Neil's lap around the track this weekend, and you actually heard from his own mouth. He said, they employed me because I was better, if not at least as good as Paul Espargaro when I signed that contract. And he's still got that belief in there somewhere, but it was just a little bit too deep after the last few races. He lost that confidence. And hopefully with that result today, I know it's these conditions and it's mixed conditions, but hopefully it'll have just kind of sparked that, and that confidence will come back for the rest of the season.
Well, let's hear from Bradley. He caught up with Hodgie a short time ago.
Well, Bradley, your best result on the KTM. Fantastic 10th place finish. Is that almost a smile?
Yeah, it's the first time I've seen you guys after a race, so I must have done something good. But Yeah, I mean, these were tricky conditions today, but you know, like I said to you guys on the track walk on Thursday, you know, the target of this weekend was to show the rider that I am and that KTM signed. And you know, although we're a minute behind, you know, which we know with this project, I still was with the other orange bike and managed to get him at the end there. So you know, it was a solid weekend. I didn't nail the qualifying yesterday, which like bugged me all night, so I had to make sure I nailed it today.
And how hard was it out there? We saw the track, it looked awful. You must have been having loads of moments. What's it like?
I mean, my front wasn't too bad. I felt quite planted on the front. I mean, we were skating on some of the rubber patches, but the rear was like, I mean, I felt like a dirt tracker out there. Like, it doesn't matter TCS, torque demands, whatever you got on this bike. Finally, your right wrist was the difference today. So, yeah, I mean, big thanks to the boys. You know, there's within the garage, there's never been any, you know, lack of support. Yeah. And, yeah, it's a nice way to finish the weekend.
Brilliant. Well, there's been no lack of support from us guys as well. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.
Well done, Bradley. Not all smiles from the Brits this weekend. A really, really tough couple of days for Sam Lowes. Hodgie crashed out in the race, and he's had a few of those this weekend. Hasn't gone well.
No, do you know what? It's this sport. Sometimes it just starts to go wrong, and for no matter how hard you try and change the way you ride, when you look down, it's down, and it does affect your confidence. I'm sure Sam's confidence is, you know, it's at rock bottom right now, but all we all know about Sam is he's a gritty, determined character. He's got a lot of experience, and he will be back.
I'm joined by a very happy Tommy Agutter. We'll talk to him in just a moment's time. Why is he happy? Because this is the Moto2 race result. He took a victory in the rain, showing fine skills in really awful conditions out there from his fellow countryman, Thomas Luthi, who has just blown open this championship. It's got so tight, he is right on the tail of Franco Morbidelli, and a good, good third place for Siren. So, exciting stuff in the rain. This is what happened.
You are looking at the first Swiss 1-2 ever in the history of Motorcycle World Championship racing.
Tommy Agutter wins here at Misano from Thomas Luthi, who closes down Franco Morbidelli in the World Championship. And coming to the line in third place, Hafish Syreen takes that final podium position.
Tommy Agutter enjoying that. Good reliving those moments, yeah?
Yeah, sure. This is great moments where we can see the highlights and my second victory with the Kiefer Racing team and with the Sutter. For sure will be a perfect day. Yeah.
Just how difficult were the conditions out there today?
Yeah, the condition was really bad. This morning when I stand up, I got a little bit of a bad feeling because all the weekend was dry and I was really fast in the dry at a good pace, so I didn't know how fast I can be in the red. But when the race start, I see that I had a good pace, and then when Morbidelli crash, I say, wow, what I can do on first position, and then I say keep calm and make a good pace, and I could do this all the race and make a perfect race.
How does that affect you on the track when you see the championship leader, a man who's usually so level-headed and so consistent, when you see him crash, does that get into your head?
I say maybe he pushed a little bit too much because he was quite fast. I couldn't follow him on this time, and we know that the track was really slippery, so you need to give quite big attention. We saw many crashes in warm-up and in the race in all three classes. And so I say, okay, I keep calm. I don't want to crash on first place. And I could manage quite well, but I think the most difficult thing was to keep up the concentration and to be really smooth on the track.
Your best result this year has been a fifth, obviously, and a 10th out in Silverstone. You were third in the dry yesterday, and looking forward to it being dry today, but it was wet and still won. Is there anything that you've got new on the bike or developed from Silverstone to get these kind of results?
We was already there on Silverstone. We was all the weekend quite strong. But on the race, there is missing the overall package, missing something to really fight in front. I think today, the team make a perfect job to set up the bike good, that they had a lot of grip. But I think also the rider on this condition needs to be more important than on a dry condition. So we get some parts from Sutter. They work hard to develop the bike as fast as possible to be more competitive to Kalex and KTM or speed up. So yeah, thanks to them as well. Yeah.
And Dummy, we saw you have the slide coming out of turn 8, I think it was. Tom Lutie got in the lead for, well, what can only be a second, or I can see it here on the screen. Well, at this point, when he passed you, did you think at any point, this guy's battling for the championship, maybe he's not going to risk so much? Did you think that?
Yeah, sure. I saw that Tom was behind me, and I saw that Morbidelli crashed, so I think that Lutie will be a little bit carefully because he wants sure this 20 points bringing home, or maybe 25, but I was also like, I want to take this 25. So I have a small moment there with a real slide, a little bit accelerating too much out of the corner. Yeah, the only thing was I tried to catch him immediately back. He go a little bit wide in the next corner, so then I'd be again focused and I could go my pace.
Before we let you go and celebrate, this is the first time there's been a Swiss 1-2 in any class across the line, which is incredible. How will this kind of day be celebrated back in Switzerland?
Yeah, I hope the Swiss guys make a big celebrating party, because I think this happened a long time ago, and we're waiting for this a long time. For sure, also big congratulate to Tom. And yeah, a country, a small country like Switzerland without any tracks, I think we make a great job in Moto2 to finish first and second.
No tracks of any kind.
There is motocross tracks or some karting tracks, but
no asphalt racetracks.
There is linear, but it's not allowed to race on it, and it's only like 2 kilometers.
They probably can't afford to build. There's no money in Switzerland.
Sure, there is some money, but you know, I think that the sport is more into the football or ice hockey, and the motorsport is coming a little bit more on backside.
Well, maybe your success will motivate them to build a track at some time. Congratulations today. Great victory. Well done. The last race to look back at is the Moto3 race, and the weather played too large a part. It was really horrendous for these young fellas, but this is how it finished up. A great win for Romano Fanati. That kid has matured over the last year or two, and he really showed it out there today. A dominant win by 28 seconds over the championship leader, Joan Mir, and Fabio Di Giantonio coming in third place. So what was I going to say there, lads? I completely forgot what I was going to say, but I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to show the highlights. This is what happened.
Romano Fanati then, under a cloud he may be, but that's a fantastic win for him as he wheelies in style to take the Moto3 race in Italy in front of a home crowd. What a race for him.
Romano, congratulations. That reminded me of Jerez all those years ago, winning by such a massive margin. But it was the lines you were finding around the track that no one else seemed to. You look very calm. You look very tranquil on board that bike. Is that the experience, do you think?
The experience for sure. With 100 to 25 in the Italian Championship, I make two races with the weather, with the wet. So if you stay inside, you are slide. So you have to stay outside in the middle of the track. So especially in the turn 6 and in the before the last one and also the last one turn. So the bike was incredible. The feeling was fantastic. So for sure was a good result.
No worrying moments out there, even though you had that big gap. Were there any wobbles?
The big gap with the rain is optimal, but it's also difficult because you have to manage the water in the track more or less. You don't know if you can push more or you have to manage, so it's difficult, but for sure is a really enjoy.
I bet it is a great day in front of your home fans. Romano, go and enjoy it. Congratulations.
Thank you. Ciao.
Yeah, no moments at all. He was absolutely solid throughout, unlike Aaron Canet, who had a crash, which means Fanati has jumped above him in the standings. Romano now on 185 points, but Joan Mir's lead pretty strong still. Was 64, I think it's now down to 61, but he's looking pretty solid with five more races to come. John McPhee, still seventh place, didn't finish the race today. Another crash, difficult weekend for him. Well, gentlemen, first, a quick word on Romano Fanati. We know how much potential he has. Moves to Moto2. Perfect timing, perhaps, because there's a maturity to him there. And maybe realising what a good gig he has. Because, you know, in the past couple of years, he was, I don't know, maybe a bit loose, a bit showbiz. Now we realise he's quite a lucky fella, really.
Yeah, well, he's obviously got a team that he's happy with, that is strong enough to give him some discipline, because obviously that's what he needs, as always, Romano. But to win by 28 seconds today, absolute outstanding performance from him, moving from third to second in the championship as well. So even the problems that he does has is exciting, and when he does a performance like that, he deserves that Moto2 ride more than anybody today.
Quick word on Joan Mir, who's still got a sizable lead, and he is really solid as well. Happy with that second place, I'm sure. That's really the only championship that looks like it's kind of almost decided with five to go, right?
Yeah, and again, when you're leading the championship by so much, it does add pressure on you, believe it or not. You think, oh no, he won't be too stressed about this race, but it was a race where we could have easily crashed. You know, we saw half the field crash, so did a great job. It was a proper championship winning ride. He hasn't extended his lead, but lost 4 points, but there's a round less to go where you can score 25 points per round, so he'll be celebrating tonight, definitely.
As for MotoGP, hugely exciting. Marc Marquez and Andrea Dovizioso are both on 199 points with five rounds to go. Aragon up next. It's a perfect end to the season, isn't it?
And you heard from Olivio Supo, the tracks that are coming up, the next five, are 50-50. What suit the Honda, what suit Marc, or the riders or the bikes. But it's just phenomenal to have three riders and three manufacturers going for this MotoGP championship this year. And I think it is going to go right down to the wire. Just a shame about Valentino Rossi's injury and not being in the hunt anymore. But still, it's going to be an amazing season.
Slight advantage to Marquez, would you say?
Yes, with the Aragon Cup being next. His home track, and he usually wins there.
Well, that's it from Misano. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time from Aragon. We'll speak to you then.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.